Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. Today is June 4th, and I'm calling the committee to order. We have a number of members excused because the House is still in session. But what I'm going to go ahead and do is open the public hearing on 2921. It's House Bill 2921 relating to expenditures from the Wage Security Fund. Ms. Deister is not here.
On her way. We can invite the first testimony.
So I talked to Witt and Witsit, and they seemed a little bit stubborn. I didn't get a commitment out of either of them.
Okay.
Ms. Deister is on her way?
Yes.
Do we have a sign-up sheet?
I'll go get it. Ms. Deister has arrived.
Ms. Deister.
Yes, ma'am.
We've just gaveled in a public hearing on 2921 while we're waiting for a quorum on the work session that's scheduled. So tell us about 2921, if you will.
It's okay. Take a breath.
House Bill 2921 enables the Bureau of Labor and Industries to utilize the Wage Security Fund for Department Operations. It comes to you from the committee, the House Committee on Business and Labor.
Mr. Chair, could I suggest we go back to the work session to get the House back on the floor?
That would be fine. I'm going to gavel out of 2921. I'm going to gavel in on 3304A, and Ms. Toe, we missed you.
Yes. Co-Chair Gomberg, members of the committee, as you remember, House Bill 3304 requires the Landscape Contractor Board to design and offer as an alternative to a written exam of practical skills tests for persons applying for landscape construction. And you had a public hearing in this committee on May 19th. The original staff measure summary, the fiscal impact statement, as well as the dash A7 amendment and the fiscal impact for both the original and the A7 are in your packet and on OLIS. The dash A7 removes the emergency clause. It provides that the practical skills test should apply to not only the regular licensing but limited and specialty license. It allows that the board tests the ability of an applicant for hardscapes but not for backflow, since that's the domain of the state plumbing board. And it says that it changes some of the effective dates to give the board some time to work. So it moves the availability of the practical test from September 15, 2016 to May 15, 2017, and it removes the reporting requirement to the Legislative Assembly from September 6, 2016 to May 2017. And the dash 7 doesn't change the fiscal impact, which is pretty much saying that as a semi-independent, the Landscape Contractor Board will establish fees for these exams to recoup their costs.
Mr. Chair, we're in work session.
We are indeed.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash A7s.
All right, colleagues, you've heard Senator Johnson move the dash A7 amendments. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I would move the amended House Bill 3304 with the dash 7s to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
And colleagues, you've heard the main motion. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Motion carries. And we need carriers.
I would volunteer on the Senate side.
And we have had conversation before about having members who are not on Ways and Means carry bills on the floor. And I've been told that while it's not traditional, that it's not a problem, and that we would have staff available to provide some support if needed. I'm guessing
I'm on Subways.
Okay, well, then that changes everything. All right, well, then I think we've got carriers for the House, and all we need is Senator Johnson, can you take it to full Ways?
Sure.
All right, we are good.
Okay.
All set.
If you guys want to go back, I'll open up the information.
I'm going to close the work session, and I'm going to pass the gavel, and if any of the House members want to go back to the floor and continue voting there.
Thank you, House members, for your patience. All right. With that, I will open up a public hearing on House Bill 2921 relating to expenditures from the Wage Security Fund. Ms. Deister.
Okay. So as I was saying, House Bill 2921, the bill before you would allow the Wage Security Fund to be used for the broad purpose of enforcing the provisions of Chapter 652 and 653, which are wage and hour provisions and minimum wage and employment conditions that the Bureau of Labor and Industries is responsible for. The Wage Security Fund has had payouts over the course of the last three biennium of about $1.8 million in 07-09. 2009-11 payouts were about $1.4 million, and in the 11-13 biennium, it was $1.2 million. That Wage Security Fund is basically the fund of dollars that is used when there is no way for employees to get their final paychecks when a company goes out of business, for example. So that's currently what that fund can be used for.
Thank you. We have Ms. Barks signed up, and I know mm-hmm. that Senator Dembrough has asked to testify. Why don't you come up together? Unless that's objectionable to you guys. Okay.
Not at all.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon. Co-Chair Johnson, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Paloma Sparks from the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Currently, as Ms. Deister explained, the Wage Security Fund is limited to being used for those payouts for employees that are owed wages, but the business has gone out of business. As you know, BOLI is very reliant on general funds, so when there's a need to add positions or have some more flexibility, we're pretty stuck. So the idea came that maybe we could use the Wage Security Fund right now. The fund payouts are pretty consistent to being around $1.2 million per biennium. We project it to be substantially the same for the 13-15 biennium as it was for the 11-13 biennium. That's sort of a general overview of what the bill does and what it could do, that it could give us some flexibility in terms of funding the investigations and what we do at the Bureau.
Thank you. Any questions of Ms. Sparks?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a question?
No.
Oh, Senator Dembrough.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Michael Dembrough. I'm the state senator for District 23. That's northeast and southeast Portland and the lovely city of Maywood Park tucked in between. And I come before you in my role as the chair of the Workforce Committee, and Representative Holvey was hoping to be here as the chair of Business and Labor, because we have been struggling a lot this session over issues related to what's known as wage theft, when workers are not paid their due. And we've had, I think, productive meetings with industry representatives on a number of issues related to it. Everybody, I think, is in agreement on two things. We need to bring the bad actors under control. You know, as it were, the bad actors are spoiling things for the good actors. And we need to get better enforcement capability for BOLI so that problems can be investigated promptly before the scofflaws have skipped town or, you know, other problems have emerged. So you can get, the workers can get prompt restitution of their wages. So, you know, it's fine to have a wage security fund, but it's even better if you can actually get them the dollars that they're owed more promptly. They need those dollars. Earlier this session, a group of industry representatives sent a letter to the co-chairs, which had, you know, was making this point that the BOLI needs that the industry needs appropriate oversight by the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and that it's imperative that BOLI have the ability to provide that oversight. And that came from AOI and various chambers and the home builders and ORLA. And it's really something I think that everybody can agree to. So, you know, I think that this this bill that's coming before you would give BOLI the flexibility and the capability of really doing its job. So that's why I'm strongly in support of it. We'll be happy to answer any particular questions about some of these situations or whatever.
Senator Hansel.
If I can give me a big picture, you've got this fund that's dedicated to a particular use. And you're not spending it down, is what I'm understanding. You got more money in it than what you normally would find for expenditure.
Co-Chair Johnson, Senator Hansel, that's correct. Right now, we're paying out about $1.2 million a biennium, and it is projected, the ending fund balance is projected to be around $8 million for the next biennium.
I have several questions. One of them is, should I deduce from your testimony, Senator Dembro, that this newfound flexibility, the money would all be spent in the wage enforcement area? So are you doing enforcement, or are you paying aggrieved workers?
Madam Chair, I think, you know, my sense is that it would be both. But for BOLI to have better enforcement capability would make it easier for claims to be investigated and for workers to have access to those dollars that are not going out that they might be owed.
This population sometimes works under the radar. And how would BOLI, and maybe this is a question to Ms. Sparks, how would BOLI go about calculating? I show up and I say I went to work for fly-by-night contractors and I worked for two 40-hour weeks and they didn't pay me. Therefore, I'm owed this money, so you, BOLI, satisfy what I'm owed. What would be my standard of proof?
Co-Chair Johnson, well, first we would contact the employer and ask to see payroll records.
They're gone.
We would ask the employee to submit payroll records.
He was paid under the table.
If he was paid under the table... It would be hard for us to determine if somebody was an employee if there's no record anywhere that they were an employee.
So in that case, what's the threshold of temptation to dip into this newfound flexibility and pay somebody?
So the ability to recover under the Wage Security Fund for a worker is limited to $4,000. We haven't had any cases that have reached that limit, or we haven't had very many cases that have reached that limit over the past biennium or so, at least as it has been explained to me.
What's the delay that's currently being experienced at BOLI? Why do you need this additional flexibility? What's the lag?
Well, currently we are limited to general funds, so if we wanted to add the ability to do investigations, there are certain parts of wage and hour law that we simply don't investigate unless we have received multiple complaints because we do not have the resources. We have 7 wage and hour investigators that cover the entire state.
How do you anticipate purchasing, retaining more if you had access to this money?
To be determined, but I know that there have been there's been a lot of interest in that, and particularly in conversations that we had with the industry folks that Senator Dembro mentioned, they have expressed an interest in let's focus more on BOLI's enforcement abilities and less on other changes.
Madam Chair, if I could just jump in, you know, give an example that we heard, you know, from the Restaurant Association. As you can imagine, they have a lot of issues with food carts right now. That's part of an area that's in competition with them and where they are convinced that food carts are really not following the law in a lot of cases. And the representative said, you know, if BOLI could just do spot checks And, you know, we know that they're going to find miscreants, and that will have a, you know, a chilling effect on those who are
ignorant. Those miscreants come with fries?
Yes. So, you know, I mean, I think that's an example of what we're looking at here and what, why it's important for BOLI to be able to get involved earlier rather than later.
Let me ask you my last question. How is this not a violation of trust in terms of taking money out of an account set up for a specific purpose and repurposing it? I would call to your attention the fact that Dogami is broke right now because they dipped into a trust account set up for one purpose and spent it for general purposes, and the agency's upside down. How is this not a breach of a fiduciary trust? This money was established for a specific purpose. And what happens if you have a catastrophic wage failure someplace and you've depleted what is a trust account to satisfy workers when the company folds?
Co-Chair Johnson, we would certainly prioritize wage security fund payouts over anything else, and we have no desire nor intention of draining the fund because we know that it will fluctuate with time, and we cannot be emptying a fund that needs to remain sustainable as the future goes on.
Do you have a spend plan? You said to be determined. I don't know how the legislature can responsibly just give you access to $6 million and say, let us know how it goes.
Co-Chair Johnson, we would not be able to spend this on positions or other enforcement.
But you already said to be determined if I asked if you were going to hire new positions.
Well, Co-Chair Johnson, you would have to give us position authority in order for us to be able to do that.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Nierman.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. So, Ms. Sparks, I'd like to know the outcome of the scenario that Senator Johnson painted, where you have kind of a situation where you don't have any records, yet you have kind of a he said, she said thing. What do you do then? Do you pay the employee? Or how does that get concluded?
Thank you for the question. Co-Chair Johnson, Representative Nierman, that would really depend on the circumstances. Often a complaint such as that where no one could, potential employee could not prove that would be dismissed. It would depend on, you know, what kind of records they maintained themselves with regards to the time that they worked. You know, there could be an employee that couldn't show anything else, but they or the employer wasn't available, but the employee had maintained, you know, extensive records of their timesheets and their pay. Or it could be an employee that could not prove anything. If they couldn't prove anything, we would be I feel confident that often that would be dismissed.
Thank you.
Okay, colleagues, any more questions?
Can I just say one more?
Senator Dembrough.
Sure. Thank you. So, you know, again, something that we heard repeatedly from industry was that they would prefer to see enforcement happen through BOLI as opposed to private rights of action. That was a recurrent message, as you can imagine. And they generally, you know, indicated that they're very satisfied with the work that BOLI does, if only it could be more timely and, you know, that they could be actually out in front of these issues rather than always having to play catch up.
Are any industry folks coming to testify on this issue? There are any other questions? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2921. Colleagues, anything else for the good of the order? Ms. Deister, anything?
Again, please continue to watch your calendars because it is changing on a 24-hour basis.
We're adjourned.
That's why I have a bill. 24-hour basis.
We're adjourned.
That's why I have a bill.